Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay home, Cleveland Browns. Jimmy and Dee, if you want to make your real legacy in Cleveland, don't create a civil war between fans and two towns. Do what's best for the region. Stay with us for the long haul, like Dan Gilbert and Paul Dolan have done, and they've doubled down on a place that we helped in a public-private partnership build.
That was Chris Ronayne over the weekend with Daryl. Terrific, terrific, really 2 hours of civic programming on our station on a holiday weekend. Daryl was in, Padone was on vacation. Local programming over the weekend, you know, used to be a thing.
Tell
in
me,
Cleveland. Very few outlets are going local like that.
Did Padone avoid Ronayne?
He wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, Ryder and Ronayne sounds like a thing.
That's true. Padone might get replaced here. Might be Ronayne.
Wow.
Well, their office is right here. So...
Right over the corner there?
Yeah, it's right down here. And Ronayne came in studio, and it was only supposed to be a segment and ended up going like an hour, not to mention the city councilman who is in studio as well. That one...
Chris Harsh.
Yeah, he was terrific.
What else you got to play here? What else we got?
Okay, so that was over the weekend. It got me thinking because we have been seeing this nasty back and forth, and it escalated. I'd say to nasty. There's even been some name calling. I mean, when you're using the terms greedy, which is what Ronayne and certain members of city council.
Using the term bullying.
They are using that when it comes to the city and when it comes to the Browns. And then the Browns fired back. We already heard Mayor Bibb at the end of the week, a week ago, basically throw his hands up in the air and give up.
Then he kind of walked those comments back, which was weird, but.
He did. Okay. Well, because it made national news. Anytime you have a mayor of a big time sports city throwing his hands up in the air and saying, well, I don't know, like not a priority, like the Browns are not a priority. I mean, that made some national headlines. So this went back and forth. And I want people to try to have as much an open mind as I was trying to have while I was in the shower listening to this. Anytime you're listening to Daryl. You know,
you gotta listen to the show.
Throw down while I'm in the shower, completely nude, taking it all in. This was Chris Ronayne his overarching point of view on all of this.
We respond to claims that, frankly, were false claims, and we call them on it. We hold them to their words that say, we don't need your money. Why for a year and a half have you been saying that you need the public's treasury to do this deal? If you don't need it, then frankly, that was just a way to pick our pocket. So I'm holding them to it. So my first job is hold the treasury in good stead for the taxpayers and don't put taxpayers in risk. My second job is to argue what's right in the region. Of course, I represent Brook Park and Cleveland, both two wonderful cities out of 59 in our community. I represent them all. But I have to think about what's best for the region at large. And that's where my position is, to stay downtown.
So that was in response to the Haslam's letter. There have been so many letters back and forth. The Haslam saying, we can do this without the county. Which I think Chris Ronayne was like, that's a win. We just won that negotiation. Like, why were we arguing over county money to begin with? So I thought that was interesting. It was kind of a victory lap, obviously, by Chris Ronayne, where a lot of people are just piling on the city and the county because of this. And then clip number 14, a term that was used, which when you're using this term, see if you can detect it. This is Chris Ronayne with Daryl Ryder.
Anytime the Haslams want to come back to the table and talk about what they originally proposed, let's sit down together rather than make this bull rush to the legislature, who's frankly confused when they look up north and they see all these different points of view. And they're, I think, funding a boondoggle. With $600 million of your state tax dollars, they're funding something that is already been said by their own fiscal analyst, Legislative Service Commission, is too risky. We don't know what's going to happen to state income tax. You know, there's one gubernatorial candidate already out saying he's going to end it. Well, this plan out in Brook Park is very much built on income tax receipts, right? What if that goes away? You know, they've doubled the bed tax estimates out in Brook Park. Just because you build this, you think you double the county bed tax out there? Everything they've shown is actually a fallacious model.
So you have a lot of independent analysts coming in. You have maybe not so unbiased. I know we all try to be unbiased, but there have been a lot of formulas trying to poke holes at where the Browns are at on this. So I'm curious, Kenny, when you're hearing Chris Ronayne kind of fire back at the Browns, obviously we as a radio station, and full disclosure, we are partners with the Browns. We want what's best for the Browns, but also best for the community. We want the math to work out, and we want all of us to have this a new beautiful structure either way that houses some of the biggest events that we can have, but we also don't want it to cripple the local economy. Where are you on this? Did you think Chris Ronayne made a compelling case?
Oh, of course he made a compelling case. I've followed his career here over the last decade. Of course he can make a compelling case. It's just, I still stand firm that it's my belief that the leaders of the city never wanted the stadium there in the first place after a while. I think this goes back to Mayor Jackson, and I think it continues with Mayor Bim. And I never saw any sort of thought that they were really interested. And now I think that there's a lot. I think that Chris Ronayne is certainly interested in it. But I think some of the other stuff is kind of, well, we don't want to be known as the guys who sent the Browns out of town. So we decided to do this. I just don't believe that they've ever really, the things that I've seen, I don't believe they've really wanted it. So my opinion has not changed. My mind has not changed over the stadium being in Brook Park with the roof over it and being able to bring in whatever you possibly can. I would not want the county cut out of it, but as you've stated out before last week, what did you say last week about that? Well, it saves you money, so you might as well go ahead and let them do it. However, that the news that the other two teams seem to want a update to the sin tax, that can be a concerning thing for a lot of folks out there. So this is gonna create some ins and outs, certainly with this, though.
Yeah, this is
the best way I can put it, the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, it's obviously very complicated because we're all relying on a lot of projections, right? The Browns' plan has all these projections that they say makes this financing, you know, work out, right? The bonds, the way that the bonds are going to be financed, you know, that it'll pay for itself with the parking. I am curious, like Ronayne said this whole thing is about the Browns being able to you know, make out on the parking situation. And I
all
don't know,
over parking?
It seems,
we're doing this all over parking?
Well, that's
a lot of money, yeah, but
it is a lot of money, and obviously they have no control over their parking down there on the lakefront.
Yeah.
Those are existing, whether they are private ownerships or, you know, whether the city and the county is going to be reaping the benefits of that. That will not be the case with the new setup. The new setup will be the Browns will take complete control over their real estate, which we've seen other owners do. That's what the Crafts were able to do with Gillette Project. Obviously, they want to make money. Well, I mean, there's no doubt. This isn't some magnanimous thing by the Haslams to do anything other than they want to make money.
Yeah.
But we are also supposed to get this world-class venue. Ronayne is saying that not only does the math not add up, the prices are going to go up for tickets. The PSLs are going to be something that people in this community cannot afford. And so that part of it. And then he questioned the timeline.
Which
he says the timeline, he says they are rushing this dome in a similar way to which this stadium was rushed to get ready for Cleveland Browns football in 1999.
See, this is what's interesting to me. The timeline thing, that is something I'm not going to argue. The PSL and ticket prices issue, that's always going to go up. Now, I look at a area a lot like ours in Western New York and Buffalo, where theirs are going up, and they say they have a waiting list for them. Now, you knew that the prices were going to go up. I did find it interesting, though, listening. Like, Daryl was one of the original people who said, no, they're not getting a dome. You can't afford a dome. The people can't afford the ticket prices. It's going to be $2-some-odd billion. I mean, that was something Daryl said to us on the air a few years ago. So I found that to be interesting, where it's like, hey, if you got a this quote-unquote waiting list they have up there in Buffalo for these PSLs and these ticket prices here to buy tickets to the new stadium, all right, does that carry over with us? Because I understand that, hey, the city itself, yes, there's a lot of things that have been depleted with the city itself, but the metro still seems to be strong. So who's going to be able to buy the tickets? That's one of the other questions that you would have. But again, I just kind of want to know from everybody, have they changed their mind? Were they downtown by any means necessary, and did they change to a dome, or vice versa? Were they pro-dome, and they're going, you know what? Let's keep it outside. Let's keep it downtown. Let's redo that. Because I my feeling is if you keep it downtown and you renovate the stadium, quote unquote, we're going to be having the same conversation in 7 years. And it's going to be drug out another 3 years after that.
Well, then it gets exponentially more expensive, obviously, yes. Every year.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to renovations, I mean, Ronayne made a case that you could still renovate this and put a roof on it. I just haven't seen any kind of plausible plan for something like that. Of course, he's saying he's not seen some of the plans that incorporate, you know, the renovations.
So we're just saying things we hope. That's my issue. That's in a lot of ways. That's what I think is so confusing to a lot of people is like, hey, you say what you want to. I've seen renderings and plans of what they intend to do in Brook Park. The rendering I saw in downtown as far as a renovation was a joke. I mean, that looked like a piece of IKEA furniture. I want to see something that's tangible. But that if we're going to share it, I want to know what it is.
That was also supposedly the Browns' plan as well, though.
And I understand right? that. And it was it looked like a bad rendering that I would not want them to
honestly,
do.
Honestly, if you were trying to observe this and trying to figure it out, you would assume that the Browns tanked the renovation proposal.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Because they wanted it to look bad because they wanted, by comparison, the dome to look so much better.
And I'm sure there's a possibility of that. But what I'm pointing out is I've seen what they have put together on one side of this. I've only heard words. Show me something. Show me something that is interesting that people would want to be a part of downtown. But that's where I go, I don't believe it was ever their intention. They wanted to let it go downtown or let them leave downtown so there's a permanent sort of infrastructure. So there's housing. So there's permanent apartments. There's permanent business down there and not something you could use 10 days a year, which again, I can understand. But when we're doing this whole political football, which is a terrible thing to say, but it's true. When you're doing all this, I go, well, are we just grandstanding to grandstand? Or are we actually passionate about something like this? And I just don't believe that many of those that seem to be passionate are actually the ones. I think they don't want to be blamed for the team leaving downtown Cleveland.
Does it feel like
so
right
they want
now,
to absolve themselves of it?
Like we have this kind of drop dead date of when Mike DeWine has a chance to approve the financing through the budget bill, through this very, very big budget bill. I'm not sure. It's a state one. Does he have a name for it the way that we have the big, beautiful bill?
No idea.
Nationwide. This is a big deal. Are we rushing into this? Is Ronayne right that this all seems a little bit rushed?
I'm sure to some level, because if he only got 3 more years, that does seem to put a lot of hurry up on the timeline there. But I just real quick, 216-474-0092. If you were pro-dome, anti-dome, pro-Brook Park, anti-Brook Park, have you changed your mind? Pro-downtown, anti-downtown, have you changed your mind here over the last 6 months? Especially hearing Chris Ronayne, the county executive, going on with Daryl, which you can hear that 92.3thefan.com and on the free Odyssey app. Have you changed your mind here over this last year or 6 months about what you want for the Browns as far as the stadium's concerned?
This downtown can support a dome. If the argument for the NFL is about a dome, it can be built. I don't think we've thought big enough about south of Progressive Field. You know, I was coming down Broadway Orange today. You know, I'm looking at it, and roads are movable. There are malleable parts of that plan. You could dig right into Orange Avenue and move it to the east, and you can have your Brown Stadium right next to Progressive Field. So there's a lot of different land plays out there. And I realize to the listener, a lot of this is confusing, and some of this is just, let's cut to the quick, do the first thing, the easiest thing. But I think in history, we'll look back and say, why do we do that?
Well, can't you move the roads in Brook Park?
What do you mean, move the
why? Well, he's saying you can move the roads. Can't you move the ROADs in Brook Park, too?
They don't need to.
Well, you've got the Brook Park roads to downtown Cleveland.
Okay, so he's saying to move the roads and you can have a stadium next to Progressive Field. All right. Like, but he's saying you can move. So are we doing more infrastructure problems or more infrastructure changes? Isn't that going to take long?
It depends how far south you're going. We got a pretty big bridge right there.
I think Ronayne is saying, what is the rush here? Why all of a sudden does this need to get done? Why can't we mull over?
Your lease ends at what, the end of 29?
Yeah. I mean, can't 28? Can't you extend those?
Well, you'd like to think so. But it doesn't seem like they all want to be together for very much longer after that, does it not?
Like, did the
There's
Haslams,
a lot of tough talk going on. I mean, we're saying each other are being bullies here.
Well, but that's the question. Did the Haslams really ever entertain doing a dome in downtown? Did they ever really consider it? And if the answer is no, because they wouldn't control the parking, then that would make them look greedy, right? So I don't know the answer. I don't know how realistic the Haslams ever truly looked at any of these other proposals. Remember, the post office was part. There's not enough acreage over there by the post office. That would not have been big enough.
I didn't think so.
So is there enough area? And if it's all about development, is that the only thing the Haslams were going to be gung-ho for to begin with? Was, we need the real estate. We need people, also apartments, you know, dwellings for the people, a mixed real estate in every sense of the term.
I want to get to you guys on this. Todd Derry is going to join us at 7:40 this morning, 7:40. So I want to get to you guys. 216-474-0092. Have you changed your mind on Dome or downtown Cleveland? Real quick, before we go to them, I have not changed my mind. Have you changed your mind?
I think the thing that I've changed my mind on, I'd love the big, beautiful Dome. I would love it. I want to know that we've truly exhausted all the different avenues here. Like, why can't we have the Dome downtown? I haven't really heard the Browns. They've just said, well, it's not feasible in these other locations. Really, though? Is it true? Or is it that they'd be more headaches? You'd have to coerce more current landowners out of their property that costs money. Like, I'd like to hear the Haslams just be honest about that and say that. And then I'd be like, okay, well, they're being strong-armed or whatever. But it does feel right now like we could put a pause on this. The one thing I think Ronayne kind of sold me on.
All right, let me get to Tony in Mansfield. Tony, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Tony. We're doing well. Go ahead.
Yeah, so kind of like three phases of this. One, yeah, we can put a pause on it, you know, just kind of like whatever the term, like the rush. But I don't know, are the Haslams, like we've talked about, you know, developing the lakefront for how many years and nothing's ever happened. So I'm wondering if the Haslams, like, really feel like they have a partnership with the city of Cleveland to where there's actually going to be some progression if the city's serious about this as well, or if they're just done with it and that's why the whole Brook Park took place and now they're trying to rush it. So that's one, like stadium downtown, would that work? And then they talked about, you know, renovating the existing stadium and putting a roof on it. And that's just where I, you know, just with my experience, and I don't know how that would ever happen. You'd have to basically tear down the stadium and start from the ground up. You know, being a union construction worker for 15 years, I've talked to a bunch of old heads that worked on that stadium, and just the structural integrity from the foundation and concrete standpoint, it was feasible with the way it was constructed and the way it was rushed. So I don't know how that would work. Well, like I said, with the existing stadium, don't see that plausible with continuing renovating that. But then two, do we have a partnership with the city of Cleveland that actually wants to progress and move forward? And I think that's the biggest headache we've had for the past 10, 15 years with getting something done. There's been a million proposals and plans, but nothing's ever happened. So I'm wondering if the Haslams are just done with it.
Tony, thank you very much for the call.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're just done with it. I think that his question is right. I think that they're done with it. How long was that land? 176 acres or whatever it is, right? How many acres is that?
Out at the Ford plant?
Yeah. 176. How long has that been available? How long has that been for sale?
Well, when did the plant close? I'm asking
questions you really wouldn't know right off the top of your head.
Well, but that's not all Ford plant, right? They had to also go in and
get
some surrounding stuff.
I imagine at the very beginning it was, we've all talked about how the stadium, good God, we were talking about this when Randy Lerner owned the team, that the stadium's not as great as what you'd think it is. They built it in a rush, this, that, and the other. Okay, then they own the team. Haslam's on the team. You knew this conversation was going to happen. I believe there probably were conversations about a stadium downtown. As time goes on, I think they just decided to hell with it. We're going to buy that land out there. I think they probably had their eye on that land for a while. But if anybody else was going to buy it, that's it. And they decided to buy it. Once you buy the land, it's like, well, who else? If the land was for sale for such a long time, do we guarantee that anybody else is going to buy the land? So now you're stuck with 176 acres of what you're trying to buy. So now it's we're going to go on our own right. Correct me if I'm wrong, please.
The ultimate hope was that you'd get manufacturing back there. That was the ultimate hope, because that brings the most benefits, I think, to everybody involved. Because, you know, once that goes awry, now we're talking about all sorts of subsidies.
Yeah,
we're talking about taxpayer stuff. That, you know, the sweetheart deal for the Haslams, which I imagine that's part of the reason they would have been enticed to go there. The one thing I don't want, though, and I'm telling you, I'm hearing a lot of this. I'm hearing a lot of this from people that call and on social media. They want the city to be, they're like, well, the city had their time to do this and they didn't. So let's screw the city. Guys, you don't want to screw the city. Screwing the city just out of being mad at bad leadership, that doesn't help. That does not help the region.
They could always put something downtown that they have, to me, I think they've probably wanted to do for a while. And I hope that would work out. I don't want them to be punitively taken care of because of this. I don't want anything bad to happen there. It's not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah, that just because you didn't like certain leadership or certain people that were involved in city council that dragged their feet on whatever. You're right. The punitive nature of that just is going to serve to screw things in this community, I think. Even further,
you know,
like, so don't do that just to be vindictive.
I've watched the Oakland situation where this is basically in so many ways kind of like that, where a team is going to leave and go across the bay like the Warriors did. You know, the Raiders went to Las Vegas, the A's or whoever, they're Sacramento. Who knows if they'll ever get to Las Vegas or not. We'll see. That's an odyssey in its own right. But they were very staunch and bye. The mayor, the city, everything was very staunch in letting all of them go. And they said they wanted more, something more permanent, something that involves everybody more, something that's going to make more money over time. And I think that's a great laid plan. Now, there are people who are very critical of that. Well, I also think it's foolish for me to shoot those arrows at the city right now, where this is something that we're not going to know for 10 to 15 years, whether or not that works. So if I were to say that about the city of Oakland, well, hold on. Let's see where that mayor's at on this and what this city is at on this in 10 to 15 years. Well, the same thing has to apply for Justin Bibb in the city of Cleveland. So if they put something there that, okay, yeah, you have permanent business now with people living in and around it, not just a flip-up retail strip mall that all of a sudden has a bunch of empty signs in front of it all of a sudden. I mean, something that's real and tangible there, then great. But I won't know that for another decade. Because they got to tear the thing down, and then they got to build the thing, and they're going to be playing in there for another 3 years. So it's going to be about 15 years before we know any of this and whether or not it really works. But I think that's what the city has wanted. I don't know if I'll still be on the air in 10 to 15 years, or anybody will care what I think of it, or if they care now. But I'll let them know in 10 to 15 years what we'll all let each other know what we think of it. Because then there will be some return, or in Chris Ronayne's words, some other boondoggle that we're worried about. Dave in North Ridgeville, you're next up on the Fan. You want the dome or you not want the dome? Have you changed your mind?
I am pro-dome, and I'm usually a traditionalist, but hear me out here. You're going to want to punch me in the face, but I'm a Steelers fan. I am a Steelers fan since 1976. But, you know, I would seriously consider, I mean, if this dome is awesome, I mean, I want to enjoy the rest of my life, and if I can be a Browns fan, I would seriously consider And I can, Tony got me thinking about this because, you know, I can afford a PSL. I would love to. I was on the wait list for Three Rivers, and then they threw away the wait list. But I love football, and it might be awesome. So, yeah, I'm definitely pro-dome, and I will go to games. I go to Browns games now, and it just sucks.
We got it. Dave, thank you very much for the call. Can I still get to John in Cleveland here? Let me get to John in Cleveland. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning, boys. Just wanted to make a quick point. You know, Ken, comparing Oakland to Cleveland is like comparing totally two opposite cities, states, everything politically. I mean, if you have politics promising what they're going to do in the next 10 years, you get that lakefront free, and you have tax-free breaks for companies to come and develop that land. Columbus doesn't have to be the only city that's going to benefit from it. Cleveland has that lakefront to entice a lot of big companies. You see companies leaving California or certain states. That would be a good enticing moment. And honestly, it would make Justin Bibb look like a genius if he could bring all of that into the city.
Well, I think that'd be great, John. I just know that he also doesn't want to be known as the guy who let the Browns leave the city.
Correct.
Listen, I'm not saying that he is the worst mayor of all time based on this. That's not what I'm pointing out here, John. I'm saying is I won't be able to judge him on, because I really do think that was their plan all along. That's my personal opinion, right? But I know I just can't judge him and go after him for the next decade plus when he's probably holding some other political office.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. And Haslam's definitely had this already made up in his mind. But if he's like, okay, the Browns are leaving Cleveland already, I need to punt, and I need to look at this as real estate and what I can do to make my legacy great.
He certainly does. Yes, John, thank you very much for the call. Guardians lost last night 7-2 to the L.A. Dodgers. Yamamoto was amazing. Shohei Ohtani, spectacular, as you heard. Guardians, not so much. But to talk about it, we welcome in Todd Derry, one half of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast, on the free Odyssey app. He is en route to Ohio State University. Congratulations on your child's success, Todd. That's a big moment.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
In all sincerity, that is a very big moment for you and your family. It's a school that I'm told is much harder to get into than it was many years ago. So, it's a very good job by you and your children there.
Thank you. And he made it to the honors program as well.
Tone.
Congratulations on all his future success.
You weren't in the honors program, Tone.
No,
you were not.
No, and he's gonna take care of me and his mother when we get old.
That's good.
He's my guy.
Are the Guardians gonna take care of us? This is a great tease. Or this is a great transition. Are the Guardians gonna take care of us for the rest of the year? Because I felt better after the Tigers series, and it's like, and Lyman was like, "Why do you feel better? They're the same spot they were before." I go, they're still in the wild card. I know it's early, but yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better.
Kenny, I'm looking at the wild card standings too. Don't worry. I'm right there with you.
Good.
Because when you're five games back of first place, that's what you got to be thinking about, right? I mean, the Tigers look, let's be honest here. Last year we took the Tigers down. It was great, but they were the hot team that was up and coming. They had a better offseason. Their younger guys take this next step up, whereas the Guardians' offseason was kind of a zero. And Paul Sewald for $7 million, who's basically probably not going to pitch the rest of the year. Jacob Junis for $4.5 million, not all that impressive.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trading your 30 home run, 100 RBI guy, not that great. Bringing in 39-year-old Carlos Santana, not that great. So, yeah, that's what's going on here. So I'm okay with it. I am okay with looking at the standings and only going for the wild card right now. And you know what? That series in Detroit showed that, yeah, this team has huge guts, will take care of business when need to, but you just faced arguably the two best pitchers in baseball back to back. So I'm not going to get all that upset about losing those two games.
Okay, so I think you started to go through it, but I asked the question and already our station made a video of it, so it's getting some comments. The identity. We knew the identity of last year's team. Frankly, the Tito teams certainly forged an identity. This is year two of Vogt. Can you tell us right now what you think the identity of this Guardians team is? Or do you think until they get their injured guys back, this is going to be tough to really clarify?
You know, that's a great question. You know, last year was guards ball and doing the little things. And you know, this year it just seems to be, okay, one day they get great starting pitching and then the next day the starting pitching's bad, they get a little bit hitting. It doesn't seem like they had that identity. Last year also, it was that bullpen. You knew if you got to the sixth inning, the game was over. This year, you know, there was going to be a regression with the bullpen. Everyone knows that. There was no possible way you could repeat that type of success. I'm not quite sure what that identity is as of yet. And yes, we are 2 months into the season, and they're, you know, teetering over 500 a little bit. But to your point, they need these injured guys back, and I hate to say it, and I'm not an excuse maker. They are who they are. But you look at those two lineups last night and compare the two, it's not even the same sports. It's a joke. The Dodgers have first, second, and third batters in the lineup have all won MVPs. We had Bo Naylor hitting second.
Well, this is the Bo Naylor MVP conversation he's finally been involved in.
One and only time that'll ever happen, right?
Yes, yes. This is the one time we can reference that Bo Naylor was in the MVP conversation. That's incredible. I mean, it is a big disparity, obviously, between the two teams. And I think it was good. Look, they needed, we were really worried. We were talking towards, right before that series started, man, this thing could get away from them. They had lost, what, was it five in a row? And we're like, man, the way this is projecting with the series coming up. And then they do take the first three. It sucked. It sucked that last one was, you know, the beginning of the day. We didn't even have time to celebrate the fact that they had won the first three by the time Skubal had kind of dominated that outing.
Yeah, you know, you got to look at it in terms of series. I mean, I understand the momentum, but, like, if Skubal pitched game three and they won game four, yes, you'd be feeling good. It's like... Anthony, when we were growing up and we would win on Sunday and we'd be all excited to watch the sports Sunday shows, Bob Stevens on Channel 5 because they won on Sunday, right? So, yeah, they lost that holiday, you know, basically the end of the weekend. But, yeah, taking those first three, though, I think the Tigers went into that series thinking, all right, we're going to go in and bury this team. And the Guardians came out and punched them in the mouth three straight games. And that just shows that is the identity of the guards ball. Every time, that's the thing what I've seen this year. Every time I think this team is dead and buried, I don't understand what's going on. Then they go out and they win three in a row against, you know, arguably the best team, you know, one of the best three teams in baseball right now.
It's Todd Derry joining us, one half of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast. He and his brother Matt Derry at Derry Bros Cast on X, formerly known as Twitter, however you want to say it. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So at mid-season additions, are there going to be any already? Oh, you're already laughing because it's like, no, it's going to be David Fry. It's going to be Lane Thomas. That's what the mid-season additions are going to be already. You already know that, right?
Okay, so I heard you talking about this earlier, and you were spot on. When did you know? I mean, I know last year they made the Lane Thomas deal, but you're right about this is the year with the, you know, the TV revenue is down. They're going to look up and say, we signed Shane Bieber and John means to be those guys in the rotation and your additions in late July, early August. We have Chase DeLauder, who will be on this team, I think, sooner rather than later.
I wanted to call him up by the end of the week just so we get a look at him before he gets hurt again. I'm not even trying to make a joke. It's just like, when's the next time it's going to happen?
Kenny, he might be here by the weekend. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I can't, that right field platoon, yikes. I mean, John Kenzie Noel and Nolan Jones, and both great dudes, but this is 2 months. I mean, it's been terrible. John Kenzie Noel, I actually am starting to feel sorry for. He should not be in the majors. He shouldn't. He has no confidence. It's the same thing you saw with Brian Rocchio. You can see the body language. They are totally lost at the plate. They had the ability to send Rocchio down. I thought when Lane Thomas came back, they were going to send down Noel. But, you know, Will Brennan had the phantom forearm soreness. That's a new one. I saw the day before he threw a cannon from right field home, and then the next day he's on the forearm.
Well, that's what made the arm sore.
Yeah, that was the old NBA knee tendonitis. They would just say knee tendonitis if they wanted to hold you out.
Yeah, it's like Carlos Carrasco last year. He's Eli Morgan. They were put on the IL like 3 times. You know, but in the meantime, that's going to be your additions. CJ Kafist potentially. David Fry obviously will be here taking up some at bats, and Chase DeLauder, and then John Means and Shane Bieber. And maybe Franco Aleman in the bullpen. And Andrew Walters when he gets healthy. Those are going to be your moves. They're not adding payroll, because last year when they added Lane, you looked up and you said, okay, this team could do damage in the playoffs. Do we look at this team as currently constituted as making a deep playoff run? You know, there's no bigger Guardians fan than me. I don't see it.
All right. We're getting the cold, hard truth now from Todd Derry as he's making his way down to the campus of the Ohio State University. So we had a big conversation about whether or not it was okay that some fans might have been excited to see one of the all-time great baseball players yesterday and then hit a home run. So a memory they're going to remember. Owen was talking about it with his kid, something that could forge, you know, all sorts of great memories. What is your take? Because you've seen, you're there regardless of whether the greats are coming in or not. So, you know, obviously it was a sellout yesterday. What do you think when it comes to watching greatness when it's in the form of an opposing player?
So, obviously, you know, when I was in my formative years and teens and 20s, Barry Bonds did not come to Jacobs Field. You know, obviously he was a National League player. Last night I took my son. I wanted to go see Ohtani. All right. I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning this morning to drive to Columbus because I could have gone last night. I wanted to see Ohtani, and so did my son. And when he hit that homer on the first pitch, we were just like, wow. And I turned to him and I said, we may be watching the greatest baseball player of all time, and we will always remember that he hit that leadoff home run in the game that we saw. I'm all for it. I mean, I didn't stand and clap. I was like, wow, that was amazing. But to Kenny's point, who said this earlier in the show, they had 9 more innings to get that run back, and it was cool. And like you said, Anthony, if they would have won the game last night, you know, 7-2, and Ohtani didn't do anything, maybe I would remember that, but I will always remember, and he will always remember, seeing Shohei Ohtani hit that leadoff homer. I thought it was great.
Todd, can't thank you enough for the time. Enjoy the day down at Ohio State. We'll talk to you again soon, friend.
Anything for you, boys. Thanks.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.